The Old Testament text for today comes from the book of Ruth. And I want to tell you a little bit about the book, because you need to understand the whole story to understand the text for today. It's a remarkable book. If you haven't read it, I recommend that you do. It's only 4 chapters, and it's beautifully written. It's the story of an Israelite family living in Bethlehem in Judah during the time of the Judges. A mother and a father and 2 sons. Judah experiences a famine, and driven by starvation, the family decides to leave their home country for the neighboring country of Moab, where food is more plentiful, and they thought they would be able to make a better life for their family. Moab was not considered a friendly nation to Judah. In fact, the 2 countries have been in conflict off and on for a long time. But while in Moab, the 2 sons grow up and they marry local women, women who are ethnically and religiously different from their own family and their own people. Tragically, while there, the father and both the sons die and leave the mother, Naomi, in Moab with her 2 Moabite daughters-in-law and without the security of male kinsmen. Meanwhile, life in Judah got better over the years, and there was no longer a famine. So Naomi decided to return to Bethlehem after losing her sons and her husband, to return to her own country and her own people. And despite giving both of her daughters-in-law permission to return to their own families in Moab, one of them, Ruth, pledges to remain with Naomi and leaves her country and her people and resettles in Bethlehem with her mother-in-law. Our text for today picks up after Naomi and Ruth arrive in Bethlehem. They are trying to make a new life for themselves, and Ruth has been gleaning in the fields of a man named Boaz, who turns out to be a distant relative of Naomi's. So the text for today comes from the 3rd chapter of Ruth, verses 1-5, and then picks up at the end of the book in chapter 4, verses 13-17. Listen now for a word from God. Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, I need to seek some security for you so that it may be well with you. Now here is our kinsman Boaz, with whose young women you have been working. See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Now wash and anoint yourself and put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." She said to her, "All that you tell me, I will do." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When they came together, the Lord made her conceive, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without next of kin, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, is more to you than 7 sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her bosom and became his nurse. The women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse, the father of David. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
No one would have thought twice if Ruth and Naomi had simply gone their own way. There's nothing really that logically would have kept these 2 women together. They were from different countries, from different cultures. Their family had been unusual to begin with. The Deuteronomic Code forbid Jews from welcoming Moabites into their assembly. So when Naomi's sons married Moabite women, they were crossing ancient lines prohibited in Torah. Ruth and Naomi weren't expected to be family in the first place. So after death left both of them widowed, going back to their own people would have been simpler. It would have put things back to order. Going back to their own people in their own countries would have been the expected choice for a widowed woman and her widowed daughter-in-law, especially women from enemy nations. But this story called the Book of Ruth, does not deliver an expected plot. This story is full of surprises. What started out as an unlikely family formed across religious and national boundaries became even more unlikely. In a culture where women were expected to be under the care of men, where tradition would have sent Ruth back to her family in Moab, Ruth instead pledged herself to Naomi, her mother-in-law. So Ruth and Naomi stick together, and they journey nearly 50 miles on foot back to Naomi's country, where they have heard that the famine is gone and life has gotten better. And who knows how difficult that journey was for two women traveling alone who have nothing? Who knows if anyone harassed them for associating with each other? People from two different nations who weren't supposed to be welcoming each other? Who knows if they were given a hard time for traveling without men? Who knows where they had to sleep, where they found food, how they found enough water along the way? Who knows what hardships they endured? Who knows what their long journey was like? The story doesn't give us those details. Ahmad Majid knows something about long journeys. Traveling for months with his family after leaving Syria last summer, the Majid family, which includes 8 adults and 6 children, including Ahmad's pregnant wife, a baby, a toddler, and their 4-year-old son, fled the civil war in Syria after their family business was looted and they were forced to close. Over a period of months, the family journeyed from Syria to Turkey and through 8 European countries, finally settling this fall in Sweden. Along the way, they faced border guards and fences charged with keeping them out. They were left stranded for days in the Budapest train station. They were imprisoned in Denmark. They were ignored and left to fend for themselves, and often they were cursed and told to leave. They were from the wrong religion, the wrong ethnic group, and the wrong country. More often than not, no one wanted them in their community. And that's how the story usually goes, isn't it? If you're in middle school, you know who you can sit with at lunch and who you can't. If you're in Congress, you know which bills you can support and which ones you fight tooth and nail to oppose. If you're liberal, you know which parts of Maryland you'd want to live in and which ones you wouldn't. If you're well off in Baltimore City, you know where you should buy a house and where you shouldn't. If you're in a gang, you know who you can talk to and who you can't. There are lines you just don't cross. In our city, our neighborhoods are so segregated that a few years ago when I was walking through Madison Park with a mostly white group of youth from a church that was visiting here from North Carolina, some firefighters asked us if we were lost when we walked by their fire station. There are some lines we just don't cross. We stick with our own, we talk with people who agree with us, we live with people who look like us, and we build fences or walls to keep other people out. And that is mostly what Majid and his family found on their long trek through Europe. And there are many, many other people like them who have encountered the same hostility while seeking a safe place for themselves and their families in a new country. In Germany, there have been xenophobic protests, and a planned asylum center for Syrian refugees was burned down not long ago. Hungary's president, I'm sure you've read about it, instituted jail terms for migrants caught crossing a new razor wire fence he ordered constructed, and Hungarian citizens now face punishment for offering to help migrants. Ruth and Naomi, after their long journey, made it to Bethlehem, despite whatever they encountered along the way. And who knows how Ruth was received by the first people she encountered once they got there. The story doesn't tell us. What we do know is that in their determination to create a new life for themselves, Ruth and Naomi convince Boaz to take her in. And he does. Boaz takes in this migrant from an enemy nation. He lets her glean in his barley field. He gives her food and drink and invites her to continue harvesting barley so that she and Naomi might have food to eat. And we know from today's text how the story proceeds. Boaz and Ruth get married and they have a son. Ruth and Naomi and Boaz create a new family in Bethlehem. A blended family, now with what might be called a biracial child. The remarkable story of Ruth makes the case for expanding the community to embrace and even to love people from other ethnic groups. And I'd like to say that this is because God wanted the community to expand, that God wanted the community to be more inclusive. But God is not mentioned as an actor in the entire book of Ruth, other than being given credit for Ruth's pregnancy. Now, Naomi and Ruth and Boaz and the people of Bethlehem they encounter are clearly people of faith. They mention their loyalty to the God of Israel. They offer God's blessings on one another, and they give thanks to God for the blessing of a child born to Ruth and Boaz. But God is not explicitly given credit for the most remarkable part of this story, the welcome of a foreign woman into Naomi's extended family and community. And that's often how it is, isn't it? A lot of people, I think, struggle to discern God's action in their lives. We want to believe that God is at work around us, that God is working out God's justice and God's love in this city, where brokenness can be found on every block. But it's not always easy to know how God is acting in our world and in our lives. What we do know from the stories of our faith is that God has a long habit of welcoming the stranger. Whether it was Abraham and Sarah welcoming the three traveling men into their home, or Rahab outwitting the king of Jericho and hiding Joshua's men from capture, or Jesus eating with Zacchaeus, the tax collector, or welcoming children, or greeting the strangers on the road to Emmaus. Throughout the history of God and God's people, God has made a place for the ones who were the least welcome. In Hungary and in Germany and in many other European countries, there were people who helped Majid and his family, who shared food, who brought them water as they walked, who gave them tips about how to navigate dangerous border crossings. There were people who risked angering their neighbors and in some cases their own government to help refugees like Majid and his family who were passing through their towns. In Iceland, whose government declared it could only take in 50 Syrian refugees, one woman launched a Facebook campaign asking folks to offer space in their homes, and she now has 12,000 people signed up. When Hungary's president shut down the trains that would have carried migrants across the border into Austria, hundreds of travelers decided to start walking. And despite the government's prohibition, Hungarian people lined the roads along the way and gave their Syrian brothers and sisters clothing and water and food. Some of you probably have read Liz Bowie's series of articles in the Sun paper, and if you haven't, go find them. They're awesome. About teenage immigrants as they made a new life for themselves in this city. Right here in Baltimore, people like Tom Smith, a teacher at Patterson High, who has taken dozens of immigrant teens under his wings as they try to get back on their feet in a new country. Or Margot Harris, an English as a second language teacher. Or Kelly O'Brien, a Spanish teacher, all of whom have put in hours and hours beyond their commitments in the classroom to help their students adjust to their lives in this new country. And what is it that each of us can do? What are the ways that we can welcome the strangers in our midst? What are the ways that we can cross the lines that keep people separated? What are the risks that we're willing to take to love people who are different from us? Because that's often where God shows up. We can get so busy looking for God on high when maybe God shows up in everyday acts of welcome, in the small risks that people take every day, risks that might make them uncomfortable or scared, that might take them to the wrong neighborhood or the wrong country or to be with the wrong people, to show other people that they are welcome. The testimony of our ancestors in the faith tells us again and again throughout Scripture that God shows up in acts of welcome. Those acts of radical hospitality that build the community up instead of tearing it down. At the end of the book of Ruth, and at the end of our text for today, the grandfather of David, in the line that led to Jesus, is born to Ruth and Boaz. Obed, they name him. You might say, a biracial child born out of the extraordinary commitment and courage and determination of two women who dared to cross the lines that would separate them, who proclaimed their faith in a God who is in the habit of welcoming the stranger. Amen.